Okay. Happy 4th of July weekend. Let's see. It's good to see you guys. All right. How many of you remember the theme for the year? What's the theme? Can someone shout it out? Keeping truth alive in 2025. All right? We're keeping truth alive in 2025. What is truth?
God is alive.
That is true. That's true. Probably the simplest definition of truth is that which accords with reality. For it to be true, it's got to be real, right? That's what truth is. We're looking for what really is. And so this year, we have been talking about truth. We looked at John chapter 8. We're in Titus now. But we've had a lot of discussion about truth. And there are lots of things that we probably want to know about, right? Like, what's the truth? What kind of truth is out there? There are important questions about life, right? Where did the world come from? What is our purpose? What's God like? Does God exist? What is he like? How should we live and what should we do? And I think, as everybody knows here, God's word presents the truth for these important questions, right? So the question about where did the world come from, we can look at the book of Genesis. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a simple truth. What about what's our purpose? The Bible speaks to our purpose, shares truth with us. Ephesians 2:10 is a good example. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's our purpose, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What is God like? Well, good news. The Bible has lots of truth about what God is like. One example, Isaiah 6:3. The angels were calling one to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." That's something that we know about God. We know a lot of other things about God through Scripture. Right? How should we live and what should we do? The Bible has truth about that too, right? Just think about, what was it, two Sundays ago, Terry started speaking from Titus chapter 2. So what should old men do? The older men, right? Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. What about the older women? How should older women live? Older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Young women should love their husbands and children and be self-controlled and pure. Young men are to be
self-controlled.
I think Terry's going to talk more about those. But God's word has the truth for us. There is so much truth, and these are the truths that we're talking about when we say keeping truth alive in 2025, right? The Bible is our source of truth. The Bible is the place that we look to know how should we live? What is God like? That is our source. And I was on the schedule to, as Terry mentioned, happy to pitch in and kind of be the B team here and share God's word with you. But as I was thinking about what I would share this morning, over the last several weeks out at the Lighthouse, I've been teaching through the book of Proverbs. So the teens, we've been going through Proverbs, and I see some of the teens here that hopefully if I ask you some questions about Proverbs, you'll be able to give us some answers. Don't worry, I'm really not going to call on anyone. But for today, I actually wanted to think about, well, what does the book of Proverbs say about truth? What does Proverbs say about truth? And the book of Proverbs you know, you think about the Bible, and there's lots of different genres. There's different types of, I guess, literature in the Bible. And Proverbs is, it's called wisdom literature. And Proverbs isn't the only wisdom literature. There's the book of Proverbs, there's Job, parts of Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, that's wisdom literature. And if you know anything about the book of Proverbs, a lot of the book of Proverbs is, there's a lot of succinct statements that stand in the place of a longer explanation. So they're what we call little proverbs, little short statements. And they express some kind of truth about life. The challenge with the book of Proverbs, well, it's not really a challenge, but the book of Proverbs is very practical. There's a lot of practical guidelines in the book of Proverbs, how we should live. When you think about what is in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs are not necessarily promises, but they're general principles. They're principles to live by. And they're about priorities and principles, not get-rich-quick schemes or success formulas. They tell you not how to make a living, but how to make a life and how to live your life. And the intent of the book of Proverbs isn't to develop doctrine, theological doctrine or dogma, because if you're looking for systematic theology, you'll probably look to, for example, the book of Acts if you want to see the history of the church. You'll look to Romans if you want to study salvation. Galatians, the Gospels for the life of Christ. And Genesis and Revelation if you want to see the beginning or the end, right? But Proverbs is simply practical wisdom for daily living. And so how do we connect the things that we've been talking about, the truth in John chapter 8 and in Titus 1 and Titus 2, how do we connect that kind of truth with just our daily living? How do we put it into practice? So that's why I wanted to think about what does the Bible, or what does Proverbs say about truth? Because in theory, it should be very practical, and I like things that are practical. And so I want to share with you six statements from the book of Proverbs, because there are six places, passages, or verses that reference truth in Proverbs. I actually thought there would be more than that, but there are six. And if you'll turn in your Bibles, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 30, because we'll look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, just briefly, and then we're going to go all the way to the, or towards the beginning, and kind of work our ways forwards. But this is the one I wanted to start with. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." And this proverb is probably, for most of us, not that profound. Or it's not surprising, I guess I should put it that way. It is actually profound. But it's every word of God proves true. And it's a simple statement that what God says is true. God speaks the truth. Always he does, that's right. John 17, verse 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he says, he's talking to God, he says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." He's talking to God the Father. "Your word is truth." There are so many, I know John, or Terry's talked from several points in the book of John. John is full of references to truth, to God's truth. But John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes," it's the Holy Spirit, "he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." And Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1:13, he says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth," God's word, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Okay, so the idea of truth is very closely related to God. Your word is truth, it says in John 17:17. And so it's a simple truth that Proverbs presents, but what God says is true. When the boys have been doing Awanas now for, I don't know, probably 5 years, yeah, since we were in Texas. And one of the phrases that we hear in Awanas, and we hear it here at FBC, everything the Bible says is absolutely true. Because God's word, we know, is absolutely true. God cannot lie. But what God says is true. So this is just the first place I wanted to start in Proverbs. It is one of the references to truth. It says that what God says is true. Every word proves true. Okay? So go back in your Bibles to, and let's look at this passage because this is a little bit of a longer one, but in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. So that first point was God's words are truth. God's words are truth, if you're taking notes. And the second one here is truth is available to everyone. Truth is offered to all, or it's available to everyone. Okay, this is another important point. In the book of Proverbs, there's references to wisdom and folly, kind of two sides of there's a contrast between wisdom and folly. And the idea of wisdom is godly living. Okay? When you think about the wisdom that's described in Proverbs, it's godly living. It's applied wisdom. It's not just being smart and knowing, like being book smart. Or it's not even knowing this, but it's putting it into practice. So when you hear wisdom, think applied wisdom. It's something that you're actually you're doing it. You're putting it into practice. And in chapter 8 here, within the book of Proverbs, wisdom is often personified. Sometimes it's described as a lady, Lady Wisdom, and she's crying out. She's on the streets, and she's crying to the simple or to the scoffers or to whoever else and saying, hey, please come, be wise, learn these things, put these things into practice, put these truths into practice. And so I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. And in verse 7 is where it references truth, but I think the whole passage here is helpful for context. In 8 verse 1, it says, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand, beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man, the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And what's, I think, important in this passage is, first of all, in the beginning of verse 7, it says that she will utter truth. Okay, and there's several things that are referenced here in the couple verses before, and I think that they kind of are very closely related to truth. She talks about learning prudence, being prudent, having sense, speaking noble things. Speaking what is right. It says, from my lips will come what is right. These things are all, I think, synonymous with, or they'll come along with truth, because everything that wisdom declares is true. So this truth is available to everyone, right? Because there's a few different places in Proverbs where it talks about this. But if you look back at verse 4, It says that she cries, it says, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. So she's crying out to everyone. And where does she make this appeal? Where does she cry out? It says that she does it beside the way, at the crossroads, at the gates in front of town, at the entrance of the portals. So this is something that's happening all over the place, right? Again, this is not a... she's not describing a specific situation. This is kind of an example of wisdom crying out. Okay, it's available to all of us, and we each have access to it. When I think about God's truth, you can think about Romans. If you look at Romans chapter 1. God's truth is available to all. There's his general revelation. Romans 1:19, it says, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. And this passage, if you look at Romans chapter 1, it's talking about the fact that God has revealed himself to us. He's revealed to himself to us through his creation. So you can look up at the sky. If you get out of Fuquay and go out into Harnett County, where it's a little bit... there's not as much development, but if you look up in the sky, you can see the stars. You can see God's handiwork. You get out over to Raven Rock, where I know Terry likes to go. I love to go to Raven Rock and see God's beautiful creation. It's a reminder of what he's done. And that is part of God's general revelation. Just seeing his world, that tells us, okay, there was a creator. Somebody created this, and it points to God. Okay? But there's more than that. Each person in this room has heard God's specific revelation, God, the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Everyone in this room and many people around us, right? We know that there are people and places in the world where the gospel hasn't been preached, but all of us, everyone around here has heard the truth of the gospel, okay? And so wisdom has called out. That truth has come to each one of us. And we're going to have to decide what to do with it. Okay, but it is available to all. So that's the second one. Truth is offered and it's available to all. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 17 through 19. And here's the next reference to truth in the book of Proverbs. It says, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And so the idea here, it's talking, there's actually two references to truth. First in verse 17, someone who speaks the truth gives honest evidence. And I think that this is probably more of a reference to just telling the truth, being honest. And it's not necessarily the truth that we're talking about, the truth of scriptures. But in 19 it says, truthful lips endure forever. What do you think it means that truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment? There's probably a few different things, and I would actually enjoy doing this, looking at this together in a Bible study format where I could get feedback from everyone and hear what you think about this, right? But 1 Peter 1:25, it says that the word of the Lord remains forever. There's this idea, truthful lips endure forever. There's something permanent and eternal about truth. And it makes sense, right? Because anything that's not true is, you know, it's temporary. It's not going to be around for long. But whatever is true is going to be permanent. Now, it's interesting that it says truthful lips, and maybe this is just kind of an analogy or to say, hey, truth is going to last forever, right? But think about, would you say that your lips are truthful? You don't have to say yes or no. But think about it, are your lips truthful? As I was considering this, there is one whose lips were perfectly truthful. John 18:37, again, we're going back to John, but this is Jesus when he was with Pilate, before Pilate. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." He was bearing witness. He was speaking the truth. "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And then, so Jesus was bearing witness. He was a true witness, right? His words will last forever. He is the source of truth. In fact, we know that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Okay? So not only was Jesus truthful, but he was the truth. He is the truth. And another verse that popped up, came to mind, was John 19. And this is where, John 19:35. And this is where this is after the crucifixion account, and John, the writer of the book of John, was seeing Jesus being crucified, and he said, "He who saw it has borne witness." John's talking about himself. He's saying, "Hey, I'm the one that saw it. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may also believe." And so, those words that John spoke, or that he wrote, they were true. And you know what? They've persisted too. Here they are. The truth, and it's for our benefit. It says that you also may believe. Okay? So that's the third point, that truth endures. Truth endures, or truth speakers endure. Proverbs 14:25 is the next one. And I won't spend too much time on this, but it says, Proverbs 14:25, "A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful." So it actually is pretty similar to the third one that we just read. But the point here would be that truth has the power to save. Truth has the power to save. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. It seems like the idea here is probably, you know, maybe you're in a courtroom setting, and you're called to testify about something that happened. And let's just say that someone's life is in the balance. Did that person, you know, commit murder, or did they not? Maybe they didn't. And you have the ability to tell the truth and say, "Nope, I saw it, and it wasn't him." And that truth has the ability to save a person's life and say, "Okay, you're not going to be condemned for something that you didn't do." A truthful witness saves lives. A story in the Bible that illustrates this maybe is in the book of Esther, where she eventually came out and told the truth, and she said, "Hey, you know, I am a Jew," and there's she talked about the account, or the conspiracy with Haman, and it was risky for her to come out and tell the truth. She could have kept her mouth shut, but you know what? She did it, and she saved her people. God used Esther to save her people through her testimony. Okay, so a truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. So truth has the power to save. Turn forward to Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21. Truth should be shared with others. Okay, so we're getting to these last two are going to be more of an application and something for us to do. Because it's not enough for us to just know the truth, right? We need to do, what are we going to do with the truth? What are you going to do with the truth?
Share
it. That's exactly right. Proverbs 22:20-21 says, "Have I not written to you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, and that you may give a true answer? to those who sent you. The purpose of wise counsel and guidance, so the purpose of the book of Proverbs, is for the hearer to know what is true. And the purpose of knowing what's true is so that you can share that truth with others. The truth is not something that we're supposed to just keep and just talk about on Sunday, and then we just go on and live our lives and kind of ignore it. It is something that we are supposed to live, and we're supposed to share it with others. And again, John 18:35, Jesus says that he was bearing witness to the truth. That's what he came to do. He came to share that with others. He wasn't just hiding it. He came to bear that witness. Okay. So truth should be shared with others. And the last point, or the last reference to truth, is Proverbs 23:23. And this says, this is the one I want to end on, and it's an interesting one because it says, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy wisdom, buy truth, and do not sell it. It just seems like a strange instruction to purchase truth. How do you buy truth? How do you purchase truth? This probably makes more sense if you think about, if you substitute the word invest in, right? If you invest in something, you're buying something that has a future value that's greater than what you're paying for it right now. And let's see, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, 44 through 46, because I think that this principle is illustrated here in two very short parables that Jesus told, okay? Remember, the instruction in Proverbs is to buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And in Matthew 13, verse 44, first is the parable of the hidden treasure. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Okay? So the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. This guy finds it in a field, and then he says, yes, he's excited, and then he goes and he buys the field because it's got the treasure in it. He wants the treasure, right? And a second parable that's very similar, it says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. He wants to find some really valuable pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And these stories make sense if you think of it as an investment, because they're actually buying something that's going to be worth so much more than what they're actually paying. And to illustrate it, I have a little something, and I've got some good news, because I've got an inheritance here. And the good news is that I have now $1 million of coins here. These are very valuable coins. And so if I have $1 million, let's just say I came on $1 million, what should I do with this money? Invest. Okay. All right. So let's think about what I'm going to do with this money. I tell you what. I'm going to put half of it in. I've got a safe here. Now, this isn't a very secure safe, but it's going to have to do. And I'm going to invest. Half of this. All right. So my half. All right. So how much did I have? I had $1 million, right? So now how much is in my safe?
$500,000.
All right. So we've got that there. And I'm just going to keep it there. I want to keep it safe. Okay? I don't want anything to happen to it. It's locked up. Nobody's going to touch it. No one's messing with it. What should I do with the other half? You know what? Like Sid said, I'm going to invest this. Does anyone have, let me think, stocks and bonds? I don't know. That's complicated. Does anyone have any land that I can buy? Just maybe some property that I can buy. Anyone have any property?
Yeah, I got some.
Brad, you do. $500,000? You know what? I tell you what, Brad. What do you got? Let's see what he's got. I tell you what, Brad, I will buy this from you for $500,000. Will you do it?
Sure.
All right. Sold. All right. You know what? Whew. 10 acres in northern, no, it's in Wake County. Wow, that's worth more than, that's worth a lot right there. All right, so look what I've got now. I have, what do I have here? There's $500,000, okay, of money. It's there. I've also got $500,000 worth of land, okay? Or I just paid $500,000. I don't know if it's a good deal or not. Hopefully it was a good investment. Well, guess what? 10 years from now, 20 years from now, do you know how much this is worth? What is this worth? It's been sitting in my safe the whole time. It's just $500,000, right? Still a lot of money. It's good, right? It's worth a lot. Guess how much this land is worth now? Way more. Maybe this is worth, I don't know, $3 million, $2 million or something. There's 10 acres for sale right now on Wagstaff Road for $2 million. Okay? Which was a better investment? This isn't even an investment at all. It's just kind of sticking my money there. This has much greater value. Future value. I bought it for $500,000, but you know what? It's going to be worth a lot more. Eventually, I could sell it for more than that, I hope. But you know what? The parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the great pearl, and Proverbs 23:23 are all talking about the same thing. They're talking about you can do something right now that has greater implications for the future. When you buy truth, you're purchasing something that is worth much more than what you're paying for it. Because long term down the road, that's what's going to pay off. Okay? Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. That is more valuable than anything else that you can do. And what kind of truth am I talking about? Or what kind of truth is Proverbs talking about here? Again, the truth that Proverbs is talking about is that godly wisdom, that applied wisdom. Now, more broadly than that, what other truths is it talking about? What kind of truth should we buy? This is what we need to buy. And when I say buy, we're not actually, no one's paying money for it, right? It's how we invest our time. Are we spending time in God's Word? Are we spending time orienting our life around those truths? Like those truths about how we should be living, Titus chapter 2, right? That is what it means when it says buy truth and do not sell it, okay? Why does it say, does the buying truth make sense? Hopefully, maybe the illustration helps. Why does it say not to sell it? That's kind of strange. I mean, if Proverbs 23:23 just said buy truth and buy wisdom and instruction and understanding, I'd say, yeah, it's a great, great lesson. It's a great application. In fact, I agree, and we should do it. It says buy truth, do not sell it. Did you know it's possible to sell it? To have it? And to just say, you know what? It's not worth that much to me anymore. I'm just going to kind of move on past it. Okay? Romans 1 talks about God's general revelation, right? But it also says that people that saw that, it says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They knew God's truth and they gave it away. They traded it for other things. Okay? It is possible to trade that stuff away. Don't sell it. If you have it, don't sell that. That is a great investment. It's going to pay dividends in the future, right? Matthew 6:19, chapter 6, 19 through 21 talks about laying up for yourselves, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where it's going to be permanent. Okay? That is where the investment is going to pay off if you're buying truth and you don't sell it. The last thing I want to share, today is Communion Sunday. There is someone in the Bible who sold truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus was the truth. Did you know that Judas sold the truth? He had the truth. He was with the truth for 3 years, just like the other disciples. But you know what? It didn't stick with Judas. He sold the truth. Now, sure, he sold Jesus for 30 shekels of silver, right? He went to the Pharisees and said, "Hey, I'm going to give you," you know, they gave him some money. They paid him. But you know what? Is that the day that Judas actually sold the truth? Probably not. He had been selling the truth the whole time. And so if there's one thing that I could leave you with today, it would be buy truth and don't sell it. Buy the truth that we're talking about this year. Keeping truth alive in 2025. This is where our investment needs to be, in God's word and God's truth. Living it out, putting it into practice in our lives, sharing it with others, making it real. That is what our calling is. And so I think to summarize, if you were taking notes and you missed one, the first was God's words are truth. Second, truth is available to all. Third, truth speakers endure, and truth endures. Fourth, truth has the power to save. Fifth, truth should be shared with others. And finally, buy truth and don't sell it.